Good morning. I am very excited to share with you about my recent mission trip. I went to Papua New Guinea this past spring and summer for 5 months, and I went with New Tribes Missions, and I enjoyed my time immensely there. Papua New Guinea is one of the world's most diverse, unreached countries in the world. It has over 800 different languages. It's located just north of Australia, and it's east of Indonesia. It's a breathtaking country. Historically, it's a country known for its cannibalism and headhunters, so it's a very dangerous country to go to. And the people there are still in bondage by a lot of animism. Not many of them know about God. They've never heard about Him. And even just less than 100 years ago, they had very little understanding of the rest of the world. So I'm going to take you on a 20-minute slideshow tour of my time there, and I'll explain the pictures as I go through them. These pictures were taken during the Goroka Show, and the Goroka Show is where the people of the Highlands get together and they compete against each other with their dancing and their singing. Papua New Guinea, a land of green mystery and beauty, a land of rugged mountains, fearful rivers and vast jungles, a land filled with people who, less than 100 years ago, knew almost nothing of the outside world. When I first arrived, I arrived in a place called Wewak, and Wewak is near the coast, and this is a view taken from the airplane that I took. There are no roads across the country, so we have to take small bush planes, and this is Wewak. The flag in the background is the Papua New Guinean flag, and it has the bird of paradise and the Southern Cross, and that creature is a kapul. It's like a tree kangaroo. It sleeps in a bag all day long. They're normally wild, but they're very friendly creatures, almost like a possum. And that's the typical home that the missionaries would live in. We had filtered rainwater to drink. And we did have warm water, but not all the time. Depend on whether there were too many clouds in the sky to warm up our water. That was a view taken from the house that I lived at. And those are islands in the background. We took a few hikes through the jungle. The plants there are larger than they would ever be here. The land is very rugged. And we would take a few hikes across the waterfalls and underneath hidden caves under the waterfalls. The friend that was beside me is Alicia Rogers. Her parents live in Wewak, and they've been there for 16 years. We went together on our mission trip. These are children eating fruit called passion fruit. And this is a typical market scene. I would make most of my meals while I was there. And this is in a little shop. Those are called garamut drums, and they're a small version of the drums that they play their musical instruments. I took many tours of the hospitals as I could. So this is the first hospital I went to. This is the Wewak General Hospital. It's donated by Japan. The hospital used to be in much better condition when the country was run by Australia, but when it gained its independence in 1975, the hospitals have seen a large decline in their healthcare system. So that's a nurse drawing medications. Those are their drugs. The life expectancy is very low, probably only about 47 years. Those are homemade wheelchairs, made out of ordinary chairs. That's a typical hospital bed. The families of the patients have to provide their own blankets and the food for the patients. The hospital won't do that. That's a child suffering from malaria. Malaria is very common there. That says sprinkler system inoperative. In case of fire, call fire brigade. That's right in the hospital. This is in the maternity ward, a mother with her newborn child. Those are newborn twins. Most often when there's twins, they will let one of them die, especially if it's a girl. This is their emergency room. And that's their triage station. That's their waiting room. And I thought that was a funny sign for the injection room. After my first 2 weeks, I flew over to Goroka, which is in the highlands, and I spent most of my time in Goroka. And this is a small bush plane that we took. The bush planes were run by New Tribes Missions Aviation, and the pilots themselves are missionaries. So this is a photo of the airport. And that's a typical vehicle that we would take. They drive on the left side of the road there, and the roads are in very poor condition. The grass in the background is called kunai grass. It's very tall and very sharp. And that's a view from the place that I stayed at, of a hut on a hilltop. And this is a very fun swinging bridge. There are several winding rivers, and there are crocodiles in the rivers. We would take the bridge across. And this child is drying out some coffee. Papua New Guinea has a big coffee industry. And this is a local school. Most of the schools would look like this. And these are some children in the classroom. And those are some very large flowers. In the mountains, it can get very misty in the morning. This is a goat standing in a house. I thought that'd be interesting for all the goat dairy farmers. And there's a man playing a pan flute. There's a giant moth. All the animals and plants there are giant, especially the spiders. This is a grave. After a few days, they'll probably remove all the wood and leave no marker for the grave site. That's a child weightlifting. These are children making little people out of clay. The soil in that particular area was very red. They loved getting their photos taken. This child has orange hair, and that could be a result of malnutrition. This child has just finished coming out of church, so she's holding her Bible. Many of the children and the people who live in Goroka go to church on Saturdays since they're Seventh-day Adventists. Child in the bottom left corner was just playing with blue marker. That's why he has the blue chin. And this is a waterfall that we would hike to. It was about a 7-hour hike from the area that we stayed at, and we would climb the waterfall and then jump off of it. Surprisingly, no one was injured. This little child on the right is an albino, and the people believe that he's an ancestor come back, and they think that albino children have spirit power. And over there, that's another makeshift bridge, which is just a log across the river. There are plenty of banana trees and palm trees. And here we're crossing the Crocodile River. That's bamboo trees in the background. That's the inside of a house. Most often the people won't let us see the inside of a house, but they did on this occasion. And in that room, probably four people would sleep on that bed. And there, we're holding avocados. The dress that this lady is wearing is called a Mary blouse, and it's a typical costume for the women. And this is a malaria breeding ground. That's where they get their water. This is a fence, and in the corner there's a skull, and they believe that skull is used to ward off the spirits. This lady is making some cow-cow, which is sweet potato, and she actually has an oven, but most people don't. They just dig a hole underground and line it with banana leaves and then cook the sweet potato and raw chicken underground by hot rocks. And that's what the food turns out after it's cooked by the hot rocks, and it tastes very good. Sometimes we would cook our food with bamboo, and that would be called a mambu. We would have greens and ginger and garlic and mix them together and cook them for about an hour in the bamboo, and it would taste really good. And that's some of the grass that it turns out to be in the bamboo. We would eat off of banana leaves. Most of the time we had lots of coconut rice and fish and chicken and really good Highland vegetables. That's the house that I stayed at. It was a duplex, so we had our heated water system and filtered rainwater at the top. This is at Lapilo. Those are our security guards with their bush knives. Most of them had steel bows and arrows, though. And we'd have a lot of fun with our cucumber parties. I spent most of my time working at the Lapilo Medical Clinic. This is the clinic staff. It's run by two American doctors. One has been there for 16 years. This is the second day I was in the Highlands. There was a market attack where two people were stabbed. So these are pictures following the attack. One doctor had been stabbed in the neck, so he's being stitched up here. And we would treat mostly missionaries, but also nationals as well. And here Dr. Budd is taking off a cast. We would have many teaching sessions. We would be kept very busy. The nurses there, we had a lot of fun, but we also worked hard by running the pharmacy and being lab technicians. And we would help with occasional surgeries. Here we're practicing for a medevac. Since it's a developing country, there's no emergency system, and we have to send people out to Australia for emergencies. So this is downtown Goroka. When we're walking there, we always have to have a bodyguard. There is no time I could be alone. That's Bintanger. That's a store that we shopped at a lot. There's bodyguards at the entrance of every store. These are bilums sitting on a fence. And that's how the people sold their bilums, which are bags. These are artifacts on the street. Every different province has a different kind of bilum that they sell. And these are gourds with pig's teeth. So this is a tour of the Goroka General Hospital. From the outside, it looks fairly okay. There were some very ill infants there. The people appreciated that we would want to help them. Most of the children were likely to die from common illnesses such as pneumonia and diarrhea, diseases here that most people wouldn't die from. This child has meningitis. This child has hydrocephalus. It's where there's too much fluid in the brain. There are a lot of burn patients. That says strictly fire burn patients only. August, Alicia and I went on a trip to Madang, which is near the coast, and we got our scuba diving license there. So here we are waiting in the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we're taking our small bush plane across the mountains. This is a view of Madang from the sky. And it's very hot there. A typical temperature would be 36 Celsius. That's the sun from the other side of the world. There's a 14-hour time difference from here in Papua New Guinea. That's the water we had to swim in to prove we could pass our scuba diving. We would swim along the Great Barrier Reef, and it's known as one of the best places in the world to go scuba diving. There's amazing creatures. Those are houses on the shoreline, and children playing in their boats. Most of the people aren't very busy. They just spend their time relaxing or enjoying the land. This person is about to go fishing in a makeshift tree canoe. This is an isolated island. I called it my Gilligan's Island. It's a very beautiful country. That's Alicia and I. Right after we had taken that picture, a big wave came up and soaked us. That's a typical mask that they would have. Those are cowrie shells in the eyes. That's a child eating a freezy. The country has, for the most part, lots of food, so the children aren't starving. That's another typical market scene. And this is the last hospital tour that I took in Madang. That's a painting of a hospital. And these are some friendly nurses who took me on the tour. Some more medication. They use medications in that part of the world that we don't have here. Mostly because of safety. That child has a cleft palate. And that man has a fractured leg. The man in the corner has liver cancer. That was on a shelf. I liked the Bible that said God. The people are very spiritual there, but they don't always know the truth about Christianity. There's a lot of different groups that go into Papua New Guinea and try to explain to them about their belief system, but not all of them are Christian. This is a surgical ward. I really wanted to see the surgery room, so they let me go, but I had to take off my shoes to go see that part, so it was very dirty to go through. And this is a sing sing. This is where the people get together and they perform some songs for us. The drum he is holding is called a kundu drum. And he had pig tusks on his necklace. Thank you. people are playing their piano and guitars. They also make some beautiful songs out of the bamboo. They get different sizes of bamboo and hit them on the ground to make various notes. That's a truckload of coconuts. This is the last 2 weeks I was in Goroka, or in the country. This is the University of Goroka. I went to an art show there, and that's a mask in the background. That was one of my favorite paintings there. That painting shows how pollution is affecting the land. There's a smokestack in the eye. This is how pineapple grows. It's the top of the pineapple that's broken off and then planted in the ground, and then another pineapple grows from that. This is a woman leading her pigs across the river. Pigs are very valuable in the country. Sometimes the pigs are prized more than children. And if someone runs over a pig as they're driving, the people are likely to kill them for running over their pig. That's a child playing in the river with slime. The river is red, probably from the iron. There's a lot of gold and silver in the country. That is a flower called the bird of paradise. The bird of paradise is their national bird. And that was another beautiful flower. This is the Bena Bena tribe, and that's the tribe closest to where I stayed at. And here they're doing some Bible translating. New Tribes Mission focuses on Bible translating, so they have missionaries living right in with the people, learning the culture, learning the language, which can take up to 2 years, and then they have to try to write down a language that has never been written down before, and then translate the scriptures into that language. So it's a very long process. There's still over 600 languages that have never been written down, and that have the people have never heard the Bible. So there's a lot of work to do still in the world. This lady is holding her pet pig, and she said that pig sleeps in her bed with her. And here the people are laying out a wood called pit-pit, and that's what they use to make their homes. This is their taxi system, a public motor vehicle. The people live very simple, down-to-earth lives. This is another inside of a house. And this is the last day I was in the country, the same Goroka show. So this picture is advertising the Asaro Mudman. So it's a tribe that had covered themselves in mud to attack another tribe. And now they have that in their history. In the Goroka show, there were thousands of people just singing and dancing for hours. It was very overwhelming, but very neat to see. This lady has shells around her neck, and shells used to be their monetary system, and they still have their money, the kina, based on shells. There are children carrying a pretend snake. The people in Papua New Guinea are still held in bondage by animism. They believe that they have to work to please the spirits because they believe the spirits cause their sickness and their death. They have many different belief systems, but most of them believe that there's more than one God and that they control them and that their ancestors are the spirits. For this says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Romans 10:14. When the people hear about Jesus for the first time, they're taken out of their bondage, and it's very freeing for them to actually know about Jesus. So there's still a lot of work to be done in Papua New Guinea and all the world about Jesus. So I'm really glad that I could go to Papua New Guinea and spend a few months there. And Lord willing, I hope to go back someday and continue the missionary work there.